Live from Music Row in Nashville, this is Roy Mathock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour.
Good morning, Roy Mathock Jr. here, and, you know, getting up and getting moving, and, you know, when you're out there trying to learn and move forward, it's always a good time to be learning and, you know, working on yourself, and that's what this whole show is about. It's about, you know, equipping you to win the money game. And the money game is a hard game to win if you don't know what you're doing. And so this morning we're going to be talking about, you know, 50 questions. And I started in the prior show, and if you go to the podcast at roymatlockjr.com, you'll be able to get that. But in the prior show, we started with questions. You know, I've been doing this stuff for 35 years, helping people with their money, helping people become business owners and self-employed, teaching them things like that. You know, my skill set is those things, is running businesses and starting businesses and helping people do that and then showing them how to handle their money. And so we started with all these questions. I've had many, many, many questions. And so I thought I'd bring you back up to speed on a few highlights of the prior show. And if you have ever, if you ever have any questions at all, you can call our information line. And that information line is designed for to help you get answers to your questions. It doesn't go on the air unless you want it to. But 866-651-4848. That's 866-651-4848. You can call in. You can visit RoyMatlockJr.com. We have all kinds of downloads. I think just went over, I think about 32 podcasts now that are up on the website that teaches you everything about how to win. And so to do a little brief recap of what you know, what we had started on, some few of the highlights. You know, the first goal always is that you need to think about always growing your income. That needs to be your first point that you move toward, is growing your income and become a 2%er. A 2%er in most cities, you're going to need to earn about $300,000, and that may be such a long shot. It might be shooting for the moon for some of you right now. But what you have to realize is that you get paid for what you know and do. And one day you may decide that you want to be paid more. And if you do, you become more valuable. And so what you have to do is learn that and learn how to become more valuable. There's four ways we earn money. We can work in a structured environment. We have a job. And if you're going to be working for somebody, you've got to be so valuable that they are scared you're going to quit. They're scared you're going to go somewhere else. You got to be absolutely the best in class among the people that do the job. You know, I read this book one time. I think it was called, I'll tell you in a minute. I'm losing my mind here. But anyway, the whole thing about it was called top grading. And what top grading said was, at any level, I don't care if it's a receptionist, an engineer, a CEO, there's an 80-20 rule in place. Some people are just that much better at what they do. And if you want to be that person, so if you're working for somebody in a structured environment like that, make it to where the employer is worried that you're going to quit because you do so much. And eventually, what's going to happen? They're going to recognize it. If they don't recognize it, here's the good news. You can take your skill set on the road, take it somewhere else, or you become self-employed. You find a problem. You become great at fixing that problem. You are the absolute best at it. And then what happens is you get paid as a result of that. You can go even further than that, own a business. You own that business, and here's what happens when you own the business. You take that business, you duplicate what you were able to do as a self-employed person, and then one day you wake up, you may have stores all over the place or people all over the place with the ultimate goal to be an investor and have time and money. And by doing that, you've gone out and built something. So what you want to do is find something you like. That would be the first thing I would recommend, and become the best at it. Become super valuable. Become very deep in your knowledge, not wide, not jack of all trades, master of none. Be a master at your craft and keep the main thing the main thing. What's the main thing? Find out what you want to do that you like doing, and then stick with it and become great at it. That's the 2%er mindset. That's how you do it. That's how you go about becoming a 2%er. Now, once you've got that mindset, you want to be a 2%er. What are the things you do in order to, how should you spend your time? You should spend your time planning where you're going next, what you're doing. You should spend your time thinking. Thinking's very hard work. You have to think about what you're doing. You have to think about, you know, the thinkers are very few and far between. There are not very many people that really think through things. You got to become a dreamer. You got to be dreaming about how great it's going to be once you win, and then you got to do the work. And so planning, thinking, dreaming, and activity, and do the work. So that's kind of a catch-up on that side. And then from the winning the money game side, some of the questions that we got, which you can send your questions to roy@roymatlockjr.com, and I'll answer those questions for you. Put them on the air. You don't have to put your name on it or anything like that. Nothing will become your personal information won't go on the air. But how do I get started? That's the first question. Well, the first question we had, how do I get started? Create the gap. So what is the gap? The gap is the difference between income and expenses. We're going to work on, as I talked about already, raising the income, and then we're going to manage and control, and in many cases, cut the overhead. What are five expenses that I see are the number one things that you can start with is the first one for most people. If you're struggling, you probably have too big of a car payment. Any kind of car payment is too big. So you want to get to a point where you have no car payment. You want to never buy retail. Stay out of the mall. Stay out of the department store. Stay out of all those places. Anything that you buy that you need, that you have to have, buy it used. Buy everything used. You start immediately cutting cost. Dramatic. I mean, it's amazing, you know, to watch, you know, what people will go spend $1,000 on a couch and then it's brand new and they'll sell it for $150 or something like that. And so you want to do that. You want to never buy retail. You want to make a decision. I'm going on a spending cut. I'm not going to go do that anymore. And I'm going to get myself ahead. I'm going to look at eating out. Eating out is one of the most expensive things people do. Cut the eating out. Get rid of the high cost of living. Number four, what's the high cost of living? The high cost of living is too expensive home, rent, all those things. You're spending too much money. And how do you know if you're spending too much money on it? It bothers you. If it bothers you at all to write that check for your rent or your house payment, then guess what? It's too big. And so what you want to do is find a way to cut cost down. And then the last one is insurance, I think, is about 6 to 8% of your income. All right. And you think about that insurance, all these insurances that you pay for that you don't understand, from your car, your home, your life, your health, all those kind of things. Start understanding and find a way to get that fixed. And so what we're going to do today is we're going through, it's just going to be answers to questions, everything on how to build an offense and a defense in your money. Offense, defense. If you want a comprehensive financial plan done, I do that kind of stuff. My company does that. We do that. We help people. It's called a financial needs analysis. And that's where we go in and we actually help you determine your net worth. Put in place written retirement goals where you can take the document with you and say, here's what I need to be saving. This is what it's going to look like. We do a balance sheet. We give you a debt elimination plan, a plan to pay for your children's college, and also do a review on your insurance. So if that's something you would like to have done free of charge, we will do that at 866-651-4848. You can reach one of my people, 866-651-4848, or you can visit roymatlockjr.com. And so as we begin doing this, we're going to run into our questions now. I think you're going to enjoy this. The entire show today is going to be devoted to answering the most asked questions that I get all the time after 35 years of helping people with their money, what they need to do. Simple questions, simple answers. We'll be right back.
Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
All right, we're back, Roy Matlock Jr. And so let's get into the questions that people ask all the time. I get this, man, I mean, I get so many questions that are the same kind of questions. You know, it's like this. One day, I decided, years ago, I decided I was going to become tech savvy. And before that, I would buy programs. And back in those days, in the olden days, you'd buy these discs and you'd order them and it would tell you, you can do all these things this thing could do. And I'd buy these discs. And then the next thing you know, I wouldn't get past the box because I didn't know what I was doing. And so one of the things I decided to do was hire an expert and let that person work with me. So I called him up, and this guy, Kenny, what's Kenny's name? So I talked to Kenny, and Kenny came over, and I said, look, these are all the things I want to learn how to do, and I want you to work with me one-on-one. And I want you to show me how to do it. And I'd ask him a question, and he'd show me right on the computer how to do it. And then he'd ask me another question. And in about an hour of working with this guy, I went from being the biggest computer dummy to understanding some things. And by the end of the day, I went from being the person who couldn't turn the computer on to the person that everybody came to and asked questions. How do you do this stuff? That kind of thing. And so what I learned was that if you will spend your time learning from experts in the field, you can take things that seem complicated and make them simple. So let's take some of these questions. The first one is this. I have savings in the bank. Should I pay off my credit card and be broke? I have people ask me that all the time. So I always ask them this. If you had money in the bank right now, okay, would you take that money out and put it on a credit card? No, you wouldn't do that. What you would do is you would say, now, it doesn't make a lot of sense if I have no debt to go in debt. Okay, so why would not, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So here, what would we do? I have savings in the bank. Should I pay off my credit card? Yes, here's why. If you take your credit card and pay it off, you're getting 18% return on it. That's a pretty good return on your money. You're getting 1% on your bank account. And then replace it. And guess what, guys? You still got the credit limit there. So you can go out. If you had an emergency, you can use it to eat. You can, if you're trying to get there. So, yes, I would be broke and I would pay it off. I'd eliminate that thing and be done with it. All right? I still have debt. Should I fund my 401k? All right? Let's think about this. If you put your money in your 401k, the first thing you need to realize is that once it goes in order to get it out, you have to pay the taxes back that you saved along with a penalty of 10%. And that 10% penalty is prior to age 59 and a half. So you're 35 years old. You have debt. You're trying to get ahead. First thing you need to do is pay off the debt. Then start matching your 401k because you want your retirement plan to be secure. You never want to be taking money out of your retirement plan. That is a double disaster. You get taxed, penalized, and on top of that, your money is no longer there for retirement. In order to have retirement money, you have to put it in and leave it so you'll have retirement money. So that question comes up. Well, they're matching. Well, so I don't care if they're matching. You need to go. They're not matching that much because you've got all this debt you're paying, so you're probably not able to fund it to the max anyway. So get rid of the consumer debt. Now, what is the debt you get rid of? The debt you get rid of is credit cards, cars, all those kind of things. Not your mortgage. We're talking about just getting rid of the miscellaneous junk. How do I go about doing that? This is the next question. How do I go about getting out of debt? Well, the first thing you do is you get on a budget. That budget makes the income and the outgo make sense. So what you want to do is you want to make sure, number one, when to get out of debt, first rule is you got to stop spending more than you earn. And in order to do that, you got to get control of the spending. Go to roymatlockjr.com. The budget forms are there. Let me tell you how long it takes you to get your budget set up. It's going to take you about 2 hours. So you take 2 hours. You go through all of your expenses, you put them in place, then once you do that, you start canceling things that are unnecessary. So now we're doing some budget cuts. Keep in mind, $100 a month expense that you cut is $1,200 in a year, and it's something you didn't need. $1,200 a year for 5 years is $6,000 because you cut $100 out. Our plan is to get to a point one day where we're in good shape. $200 is $12,000 over 5 years. So we need to be thinking not about, hey, it's only $100. It's $100 in addition to the fact you can compound that $100 and actually grow it. So it's even more than the amount of money you save. So what we want to do, we want to take that. Why does it take 2 hours? You got to go through all of it. You got to call and cancel some of these things. Then what I tell people is to automate all of the processes. Go to your bank online, set that up. Automatically have everything drafted out of your checking account to pay things down, to save money, pay your bills so you don't get late charges. Now, what do we do to get out of debt? Well, the first thing we do is we do the budget. We find that we make sure we're not spending more than we're making still. Then what we do is we line up our bills. There's a lot of ways you can do this. I'm going to give you a number of ways. One is you can line up all of your bills, smallest to largest, and then pay all the additional money toward the smallest balance. Now, why does that work? Well, it's a mindset of I had seven debts. Now I have six. Now I have five. I'm eventually going to get out of this mess. That's one reason. The other way you do it, depending on where you're at, and I say this, you know, you got to be very careful. You've got to have a budget working before you do this. But the other way you do it is you consolidate it. Now, is debt consolidation a good thing? Yeah, sometimes. All right, so let me give you an example. You got yourself in over your head. All right, you got $20,000, $30,000 of credit card debt. You got a car payment. You got all this kind of junk, okay? You got all this money, all right? So now, but you actually have a house that you have some equity in. So let me give you some examples of what you do. You take a home equity loan and you pay everything off. You just pay it all off. Now it's on your home. It's a lower interest rate than you had on your credit cards and your cars. So let's say you take that $30,000 and part of that $30,000 is a car that's too expensive. You shouldn't own it to begin with. Well, the difference now is you're not upside down in it anymore because it's paid for. You have a clear title. Take that car and go take and sell that car, get you a less expensive car, take the money from the $20,000 car that you sell it, and you go buy a $10,000 car and take the $10,000 and pay it down on your debt. So now what we're doing is we're making progress toward getting rid of our debt. Once we do that, we also have a car payment that we can take, and it's going to, and we apply that car payment to getting the home equity line paid off. Suddenly, you know what we've done? We've repositioned everything. We got ourselves in play. So keep in mind, if you're still overspending, and by the way, don't use the credit cards anymore because all they're doing is going to cause you to get more trouble. So stop the credit cards, and then if you consolidate, go in there and start finding ways to pay that thing back. Be creative in doing that. So that's how we get out of debt. I would either consolidate or I would pay it down with the balances. All right. What is the order in which I should go with my extra money. What should I do with my extra money? So now what you've done, you've decided, all right, I'm sick and tired of being broke, and I'm going to go and I'm going to drive an Uber. I'm going to make some extra money. I'm going to do something. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm sick and tired of being broke. I'm sick and tired of stressing over money. I'm sick of it. And you're going to make an extra $200 a week. What should you do with that $200? Well, the first one is pay all the consumer debt off, cars, credit cards, all that kind of stuff. Fund your emergency fund, 3 to 6 months of expenses. Now, if you buy an old car, like I just recommended, you can also drop some of the insurance on it because it's a piece of junk anyway. Who cares what you drive? It's not the end of the world. It doesn't make you or break you. Hey, I love nice cars, but I don't love nice cars that carry with it unreasonable, ridiculous car payments. And so we want to hit the consumer debt, hit the emergency fund. Then we're going to start working on saving for the home if you don't already have that. My name's Roy Matlock Jr. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Roy Matlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour.
All right, we are continuing on the questions that I get asked all the time about getting ahead when it comes to your money and finances. And I want to make let you know about something that I'm very excited about, and that is that we are training some people to become personal financial advisors. And if you are one of those people right now that love helping people and you want to learn about money, this will be an opportunity for you to take your spare time. And we do this, we always bring people in as a part-time, spare time thing. And the reason we do that is we want you to learn what's going on, not under pressure to do things. And then once you do that, you may make the decision to move into what I did, which is make a career out of it. But if you have an interest in that, you can call the information line at 866-651-4848 or go to my website and just let us know about that, and we'll have someone contact you back. And that way you'll learn the whole picture from the inside on how to get your money together. So as we went into the break, the question was, what is the order and what should I do with the extra money I have? I'm working part-time, spare time, whatever that is, or I just freed up some bills, you know, I cut some expenses. Where should the money go? Well, absolutely, first and foremost, consumer debt. Consumer debt is any kind of debt that is tied to a depreciating asset. What that means is it's a depreciating whatever you own, a car, credit card, whatever it is, doesn't have anything that's valuable on the backside. When is debt acceptable? At low enough levels, debt is acceptable. You know, when you purchase your home, it's acceptable. If you buy rental properties, things like that. But the bottom line is never be financing things that go down in value. You've got your emergency fund, 3 months expenses. You want to save for a down payment on a home. The reasoning that I put the home behind the consumer debt and the emergency fund is number one, if you go to a mortgage person and you have a bunch of consumer debt, they're going to sit there and tell you right off, first thing you need to do is get rid of the consumer debt so you can qualify for a loan. So that's the beginning of it. An emergency fund is something that when you own a home, you take on responsibilities that you normally wouldn't have. And the last thing you want to do is buy your house and immediately have an emergency, and then you got problems. And so you want to have an emergency fund, about 3 months expenses. Then we're going to save for a down payment. I'm not so, you know, big on you got to have 20% down. Obviously, if you have 20% down, it saves you money. But I'm not all about that. I think that people right now, you know, the home, getting a home and having a place like that, that's something important to you. Money is is one thing, and having some peace of mind and happiness, there's something to that as well. And I think people, when they buy their home, they get excited about it, and it's something that they do. And in many cases, it saves them money because they're not out as much, because they like where they're living, that kind of thing. The next thing I would do, number four, would be retirement planning. I would start funding my 401ks, my IRAs, my self-employed plans. If you've got your own gig, you know, you do. A lot of people do that. They work for themselves. You can do a SEP. It's a retirement plan that's similar to your own 401k, but you fund it yourself. I always like to have some opportunity money sitting around, so I'm going to do that. So what's happening is, guys, when you I believe $1,000 a month is the starting point of you seeing some progress. Now, how do I develop $1,000 a month? Well, I could do it a couple ways. I could cut $500 a month out and add $500 in income, and then I just picked up $1,000. I can take that $1,000, start applying it to debt, emergency fund, down payment on a home, retirement plans, which saves me taxes. I have money set aside for opportunities, you know, that come along. You know, people do all different types of things opportunity-wise that, you know, that you can. I believe the best investment you'll ever make, way better than a mutual fund, is starting your own business. And so if you do something like that and you're smart with it and you do the right research, we'll have a show just on how to do that. Then we go to college planning for the children. You know, that's number six. Number seven is paying off your mortgage. I'm not a big one way or the other on that. I just know this, and a lot of people get fired up about paying their mortgage off, but they do it in the wrong order. That should be the last thing down the line. One way of paying your mortgage off earlier is just do a 15-year mortgage and pay the payment. And by doing that, you usually save on the interest rate for borrowing. And so that gives you a benefit of the 15-year mortgage. But other than that, I wouldn't be that concerned about it. Now, let's talk about some of the things. Where do I put my emergency fund? I put it in a separate bank account, or I put it in a money market account, maybe through a mutual fund. You don't want that emergency fund to be a put and take account. When should I pay the home off? As I mentioned, that would be the last thing I would be doing. Is now a good time to refinance my house? You ought to consider it. Just don't make the mistakes that people make, like financing the closing cost and coming out of the loan owing more money than you had for longer terms. Always make sure to finance all of the cost of the loan into the rate, and then get a 26-year mortgage if that's what you owe on it, and then pay the same payment if you want to, or take the difference and do it. Bottom line is, you know, take the difference and invest it. But the bottom line is, you don't want to walk out of there owing more for a longer period of time and blow the difference. I see that all the time on people refinancing. I talked about that in the prior show. What about insurance? Now let's get into insurance. Do I need life insurance? Well, here's how you determine if you need life insurance. The first thing about life insurance you need to recognize is life insurance is a product designed to indemnify you in your family or whoever your beneficiary is in the event that something happens to you. All insurance indemnifies. And what indemnifies means is it brings you back to where you would have been. To give an example, if you buy a car and you have a wreck, well, if the car is a $20,000 car, you expect to get indemnified, at least bring it back to being worth a $20,000 car. Or if it gets totaled, they hand you $20,000. They don't turn around and give you $40,000. All right. In that case, all the insurance companies would go under because everybody would want to have a $20,000 car accident and get $40,000 back. So the whole idea is indemnified. Health insurance indemnifies. Everything's about bringing you back to whole. And then what we do is we take a premium, and we pay that premium in to take the risk, the catastrophic risk that we could have individually and turn it over to an insurance company who in turn will divide it across big numbers. And it's just a set routine amount that they know they're going to have to pay out. So when you start looking at insurance, you got to look at it for what it is. If you are young and you're getting started and you have a house and in most cases, no money, maybe a kid or two, then what do you buy life insurance for? You buy it to indemnify the loss of income. So let me give you an example. The question always comes up, well, what kind, how much, and do I need it? Well, you need it when you have liabilities that need to be taken care of and your income is not going to be there and there's people dependent on it or there's debts, things like that. So let's say you're 40 or 35 years old and you're making $50,000 a year and you expect to work till you're 65. So you have 30 years of earnings that are going to come along based on no raises whatsoever. So your family business, based on you, is $1.5 million in future revenue. In addition to that, you have a spouse, and if the spouse is making the same money, that's an additional $1.5 million. So now you have $3 million of income that is deferred that's going to show up without a raise. If something happened to either one of you, you have to ask yourself the question, how much of that $3 million would I want to have? And my experience has said, most people say all of it. And so then you say, well, I need to buy something to protect that. I buy income protection. So how much insurance do I need in order to provide 30 years of $50,000 a year? Well, $1.5 million is the total number. What lump sum, if we come up with an interest rate, do I need to put aside that would pay out that amount of money between the principal and interest over that period of time? And that's how you calculate it. You figure out what you need. So the first thing you do is you understand it's income protection. Now, let's push this forward and you're 65 years old. You've accumulated a bunch of money. You are now retiring. And when you retire, you say, well, how much insurance, life insurance, do I need? You've got a lot of money. You're living on Social Security and retirement plans. Guess how much you need? Probably not any. That's how it works. That's how life insurance works. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Money and Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
All right, we're going to continue. And in the last, as we came out of the segment, you know, how much insurance, life insurance do you need? If you would like to find that out, we have a life insurance calculator that you can download on RoyMatlockJr.com. I want to encourage you also to sign up for the podcast. Podcasts are going great. We take these shows, we clean them up a little bit and put them back in the form of a podcast. It's a very educational tool. I'd get your kids listening for sure, because you know, you hate to see your kids go do the same things that they could, you know, change by getting a little information. So then the question is, what about life insurance types? You know, there's different types of life insurance, but the bottom line is they're broken down into two types. One is term, the other one is cash value. Term is insurance only, and you buy it for a term. It pays off if you die. It's the lowest cost you can spend in order to get the highest amount of death benefit. I don't believe insurance should be used for anything other than death benefit. That's the only reason you buy it. If you want to save your money, don't put it into an insurance policy that's got high fees, low value, cash value, you know, universal life, whole life, variable life. All those kind of insurance products are very high cost, low value, don't do it. If you have one, here's what you should be doing. You should find someone that you can get some term life insurance with and replace it once the coverage is in place with term. I would take the cash value policy and I would replace it. And I would buy term insurance. I would take this money that's sitting inside of the cash value plan. I would take that and I would open it up and put it into some type of investment, you know, or pay down debt or whatever it may be. But I sure wouldn't be socking money into a cash value whole life, bad deal. And so anyway, what about group life insurance? How does it work? Well, group life insurance usually is about one or two times your salary. The positive is it's generally free. So you're going to do that. But would I keep only having group insurance as far as my life insurance? No, you've got to have something else outside of that. Otherwise, you're going to be underinsured. And, you know, there's if you go to GoFundMe right now, there's over 2 million GoFundMe accounts. 2 million just on burial expenses. When people could spend, you know, $50 a month or something like that and buy term insurance or $100 a month, and they're out there trying to raise money. I think the average raise is about $700. You imagine that? $700 when they could have just taken and planned for it. So don't you be responsible. You have children. You have an income to protect. Buy the right amount of insurance. It's usually about 10 times your coverage. Go to RoyMatlockJr.com and download that. Now, how about car insurance? How does it work? Well, car insurance is another one that, you know, you get all the bells and whistles on the car insurance, and what should cost one thing costs way more. Here's the things that you need to know about car insurance. First off, if you have a cheap car because you've paid for it, and you have an emergency fund, you can many times it's okay for you to just say, I'm going to be self-insured and not have any coverage on it other than liability, which is required. I would take the liability coverage, and what I would do is I would raise my limits to make sure that I'm not just on the minimum limits, because if you hit an expensive car and you have the minimum limits, the insurance company is going to immediately pay off their limits, and then you're going to get sued for the difference. So you want to consider raising your liability limits. If you have full coverage, and many of you do, then you want to look at the deductibles. I'm going to give you a perfect example. If someone were to, if you were to do a $250 damage to your car, let's say you did that, would you turn it into the insurance company? And you know what everyone says to me? No way. I would never turn it in for $250. So why are you having a $250 deductible then if you'll never turn it in? You're paying premiums to have low deductibles. So I would look at a minimum of $500 or $1,000 deductible, which will cut your cost. Now, you cut your cost and invest the difference. Cut your cost and pay off the credit card debt. Cut your cost and fund your IRA or your 401k. So we're going to cut that. So we're going to look at it. Don't buy all the junk fees. All right. There's every kind of junk that you can imagine going into car insurance. Just buy the kind of car insurance that if you have a wreck, it protects you from getting sued, have enough liability, and it fixes your car. The rest of that is junk, and it costs you money. Don't do it. All right. So I avoid things that are over the top. Here's another question. Should you buy an extended warranty on a product? Man alive, don't do that. Those extended warranties, I mean, it's just pure profit. You know, I mean, these car companies sell you these extended warranties. They make more money on the warranty than they do on the car. It's unbelievable. unbelievable. Take that money and fund your emergency fund. You know, I mean, you can go in and buy, you know, maybe the only thing I might do is if you're just completely clumsy to the point, or you got a kid that breaks a phone every other day, maybe. Okay, you do something like that. But man alive, I mean, in most cases, you still pay a deductible. And once you pay the deductible, you know, it's not worth it. If you add it all up, all the insurances that you pay, but don't buy extended warranties. Don't buy that kind of stuff. I wouldn't do it. And I'm a financial guy. I've never done that. I go to rent a rental car and they say, do you want to buy this? I'm like, no, I don't want to buy that. I want to rent me a car, you know, that kind of thing. And so anyhow, so that's the question there. What should I be worried about on all insurance? What should I be worried about? Not understanding it. Not being able to tell somebody what you have. That's what you need to be worried about. You need to be worried that if you have a claim, you don't know what's going to happen. That's what you worry about. And then once you understand it, do a review. I have a friend of mine, and he is... He shops that car insurance every year, his home insurance every year. He does it right around November because he knows that every insurance company does different things. Let me give you some other ideas, guys. If you are a bad driver and you go to companies who like good drivers, you know, State Farm is there, and all those kind of that like good drivers, you're going to pay more as a bad driver to a company that likes good drivers. And if you go to a company that likes bad drivers like me, Progressive, those kind of, you're going to pay more at Progressive if you're a good driver than if you're a bad driver. So what you need to do, you need to be thinking that way. Okay, what do I need? I need to get with the company. Check around and make sure you're doing the right things. Any suggestions on health insurance? Health insurance, same thing, especially if you're self-employed. Look for catastrophic coverage. Why do we do that? Get your emergency fund in place. Once the emergency fund is in place, you then have the ability to raise your deductibles. I do catastrophic coverage and pay my own way. I negotiate everywhere I go. I had some physical therapy done. You know, hurt my shoulder. I went in. I said, what's the cash price every visit? All right. I negotiate. What's the cash price if I pay now? When my daughter was born, I went to the hospital and I said, what's the cash price? All right, if I pay you now, what's the price? It's about 50% off, 75% off in most cases. And so now what you're doing is you're being smart. You're not going to sit there and let your health insurance destroy your finances by having nothing. You're going to go out there and get catastrophic insurance. If you're working for a company, chances are it's not going to be a concern. Just know what you're getting into. Let's see what else. What do I do to not get sued? Oh, how about that? Well, first off, you can't stop people from suing you, but you can sure have a personal umbrella policy for your for liability purposes. A personal umbrella policy is the price of maybe an hour or two of an attorney trying to explain to the attorney what happened. So what happens is you have a personal umbrella policy, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, and then you have a whole team of insurance company lawyers representing you if you ever get sued. So you want to consider that. We're still talking about insurance. Are there any other insurances that I should consider? Potentially, disability insurance. What is disability insurance? In the event something happens to where you can either you become disabled or you can't do anything, or specific to your job. Let's say that you're a surgeon. You're completely healthy, all right, but your hands are messed up, and now you can't do your job anymore. You can have disability coverage that will cover your specific skill set. It's more expensive, but that's what you buy disability for. That way, you're not going to be a surgeon, and then you have to go out and try to change careers because you don't have anything. So this one other question is, What about long-term care insurance? Long-term care insurance is one that once you're at or near retirement, a nursing home stay could put you in the position just to be like getting a divorce. Two households, one income. So what you want to be thinking about on long-term care is this. You need to be looking at your financial plan, and in that financial plan, say, how much income do I have coming in each month? And if I went in the nursing home, how much would it cost? What is the deficit, if there is a deficit? And in that case, we will buy insurance in order to be able to fix the deficit. Long-term care covers three things: home health care, assisted living, as well as actual nursing home stay. So I hope all this makes sense. I've got more questions. I've got page after page. If you have questions, just email roy@roymatlockjr.com. If you are looking to get someone to help you with your money, we provide advice at no charge. We meet for no charge, and we will do what's called a financial needs analysis for you. If you're interested in having someone help you, you can dial our information line. That's 866-651-4848. 866-651-4848. Additionally, you can visit roymatlockjr.com. Everything we talked about today is right on the website. Download a copy of How Money Works. Download a copy of How Money Works for Kids. We have budget calculators, insurance calculators. We got it all right there. With that being said, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again.